Well, good morning again. By showing of hands, how many of you prefer watching or reading a true life story versus fiction? Yeah, most of you. I agree. My favorite books to read, personal reading, or movies to watch are true life stories. It's not just somebody's imagination, but a real life event. When we're talking about true life stories, Scripture is full of true life stories as well. The lives of people and how they've lived their lives and the things they went through, not the least of David. David, you see his life throughout the Scripture. And we read about the events of David's life in Scripture. And at times, we can read his own reflection about how he feels about some of these events, often in the Psalms. There's 150 Psalms that said that David has penned 76 of them, just a little over one over half. And when you read some of David's Psalms, as I said, you can sense his life experiences. And one of them, maybe the most dramatic, is Psalm 23. Nathan Stone writes this about Psalm 23. It has the ring of a full experience of a faith sobered by trials and a life mellowed by the passing years. He looks back upon the stormy, troubled years when his life was hunted by the inveterate enemy Saul. Then through the years of warfare and rebellion, of sordid sin and sorrow, and he finds God's goodness and guiding presence through it all. And now, after the storm and stress of the years through which Jehovah has so safely and successfully brought him, with confident faith, he can look forward to the years ahead and say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Psalm 23 is, of course, a very familiar psalm, and it starts with these verses here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We are continuing on this morning in our Names of God series, and if you've been with us so far, you've probably noticed that the Lord here in the first verse is all caps. All caps. And David writes, in a sense, that Jehovah is my shepherd, I shall not want. So just as a quick review, we've said that Jehovah, we've looked at Jehovah, and it was all caps. It means the self-existent or eternal one. And we kind of pulled that apart and saw all that that means in that. And then Elohim means God, and it's actually the plural form of El. And El means power, might, and exceeding greatness. And so we see the word God, it comes from El or Elohim. El Shaddai, we looked at that means God Almighty. We looked at all that means in Shaddai and what God's name means to that. And then, of course, we looked at Adonai, Lord, and that's just a capital L and all a small case. It means one who has rule or absolute authority, one of high rank, one who has dominion, one who is owner or possessor. The true meaning in the Hebrew language indicates mastership or ownership. We've said in the last couple of weeks that God has given himself these names, chosen to give himself these names to reveal his nature and his character, and that he has chosen to hold himself accountable to his names. And we have seen, and we'll begin to see even more so, what we call the compound names of God, such as Jehovah Adonai. And we looked at what that meant. And God declares and addresses a name for himself to reveal his character, his nature, his intent, and his promises, and will often ascribe the name Jehovah to that name. And he is saying, because I am God, I am Jehovah, I am self-existent, I am all-powerful, I am able to accomplish that which I'm adding to my name as well. So just as a little clarification, we went through this last week, to kind of remind you, there's some that weren't here. We said we watched the difference between Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, or Lord, L-O-R-D, just the first thing capped. And Lord, in all caps, is from the written form of this word here, this Y-H-W-H. And we looked a little bit at that, what that means. And this, in the language, when you're reading that, in the original language, that's what it's written, and there's a reason for that. And we said that Y-H-W-H is rendered Yahweh or Jehovah. So if you're looking for your Bible and you're looking for the word Jehovah, you're not going to see it, because that's the original language. It's Jehovah is usually from Lord, L-O-R-D. When you see L-O-R-D, all caps, that would be Yahweh or Jehovah. And what happens is, in the original language, the vowels were pronounced in spoken Hebrew, But they weren't recorded in written Hebrew. The appropriate vowel sounds were passed down orally. And so there was a change. That's kind of what's happened with that. And so you look at these letters, YHWH, and you can imagine linguists and scholars trying to put some vowels in there and trying to come up with a word that they can use, and you could kind of see how they came up with Yahweh. And experts struggle over the pronunciation. Ken Hemphill writes, some prefer Yahweh, others prefer Yehoah, and still others argue for Jehovah. And so that's how we kind of see the differences in name and how we come up with that. And Yahweh, or Jehovah, you have to understand, is a covenant-keeping name of God, meaning that God has established his covenant with us, and when he calls himself Jehovah, Lord, it's part of his covenant-keeping promises. And what's interesting is when you see the creative aspect of God, such as when he created the world, you see the name Elohim, just God, if you will. But when a relationship between God and humanity begins to enter the picture, we begin to see Yahweh or Jehovah. And these differences are consistent throughout the Old Testament. So God is known as all-powerful God, Elohim, but he's saying, when I'm dealing with man, I want it to be more personal. And I want you to know what this power and this might and this self-sufficiency and self-existence can do in our relationship. And then we looked at the name Adonai, written as Lord, just the L, capitalized and false, small in case. And we saw what that began to look at, and we looked at it a little bit last week. But originally, and still to this day, the Jews felt that God's name was too sacred to pronounce. Even in the writings today, an Orthodox Jew will write G, line, D. They won't write the word God out. The only time they'll say God's name is in the personal prayer, or I'm sure public prayer, I think, in reading of the Torah. Probably from Moses' injunction in Leviticus that the penalty for blasphemy for the name of Jehovah was death. And then they also take the third commandment very seriously. You shall not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And so they began to substitute the Adonai for Jehovah and would use the word Lord. And they would also sometimes use the word, what they say, Hashum, which means the name. And so they have this great respect for God and his name, and they don't take it lightly. And I think all too often we lose that sense of reverence. Not that we want to become legalistic, but the reverence for God and his name. And as I said last week, we look closely at the name Adonai, but this morning, we're finding ourselves in Psalm 23, and it's a wonderful psalm penned by David. Many times you hear it and you think, well, that's a funeral psalm, because it's always, you know, read at funerals, and you know, I've used it at funerals. It's appropriate at times, but it's not really what it was written for. There's significance and power in this psalm, and it's a wonderful psalm, and most believe it was written by David in his latter years, when he's gotten older. Life experiences have taught him considerable, and his relationship with God has gotten stronger, as ours should, as life experiences go on. So let's look at it this morning here again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it's interesting, he starts out, David does, with, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, and we get Jehovah Rohi from that. The Lord, Jehovah, shepherd, Rohi. And there's a significance in David writing this psalm and calling God his shepherd. David knew something about being a shepherd. He was a shepherd as a young boy, and you know, we live in a rural community. We have, you know, farms, but we don't know much about being a shepherd. Back during the writing there, I mean, a lot of people understood what it was to be a shepherd. We don't really get that. And the Bible gives us wonderful insights into David's understanding of what it meant to be a shepherd and why he called God his shepherd. One of them is, you will probably remember the story of David and Goliath. The Philistine army had gathered against the Israelites for battle. They stood on opposing hills with a valley between them. And there was going to be the battles, there were going to be all battles. And as you know, the Philistines had a formidable champion, well known for his strength, called Goliath, and he stood well over 9 feet tall. And he would stand, in fact, every morning he'd come out, 1 Samuel, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israel enemy. So he'd come out there and he'd command them, you know, let's have a fight. I'll fight your strongest man. And whoever wins, if you win, we'll submit to you. We'll be your servants. If we win, you'll be our servants. One man against the whole army. And there wasn't a single man from Saul's army that would dare challenge this guy. How are we going to beat Goliath? And so while this is happening, young David, probably a teenager, I guess, they figure, is back home tending his father's sheep. So his father's got some other sons in the war, and he sends David to check on him. See how the men in the battle is going. What's happening there? And David gets there and finds out that this has been happening, and he's amazed that nobody will go against this Goliath. And he says, basically, don't worry about this Philistine. I'll go fight him. This young teenage kid, I mean, here's this well-known warrior equipped for battle, and here comes David from tending his sheep, and I'll fight this guy. So he goes to King Saul to present his case and find out what happens to the guy that wins all this. What do we win if we beat this guy? And he presents his case. I mean, King Saul sees this young kid, so this is ridiculous. And he presents his case as why he should be the one to defeat Goliath, this warrior. And he responds with this, 1 Samuel 17:34 and following. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord, Jehovah, be with you." Now, a true shepherd protects his sheep at all cost. He meets all their needs, keeps them safe, and keeps them from getting hurt and from getting lost. And when David saw a predator come and take one of his sheep, he went after it and struck it down. When a lion or bear come and took one of the sheep, now what would you do in that case? You're out there in the middle of the field? Let him have it. Have a nice lunch. You know? Take that one. You know, the rest of your sheep, you come over here. Let's start running. He goes after it. But he knew what it meant to be a true shepherd. When he penned this psalm, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's great significance that he would declare, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd." David knew that God would be the same kind of loving, protective shepherd that David was. He knew God was on his side as well when he stood against the giant. And what's interesting we learn is Jehovah Rohi, our shepherd, doesn't sit around and wait to see what's going to happen when trouble comes your way. We may feel that way, but oftentimes God goes after the troublemaker. That doesn't mean that we don't have to pray and do what God tells us to do, but God's involved in it. He's not sitting back and saying, "Let's see what you're going to do." Consider as well one of Jesus' parables, Matthew 18:11. "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek the one that is straying?" He goes after. He protects. And contextually, if this God is this persistent over you when you were still a sinner, how much more so when you are his child, his attitude towards you? So there's a lot of wonderful revelations and the privileges and the promises of having God as your shepherd and what that means. And this psalm is a revealer of those promises in Psalm 23. And there's a point of origin to these promises, and it's important for us to understand it. Excuse me. Let's notice David's confession right from the start as Ramona said a minute ago, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jehovah is a shepherd. No, Jehovah is my shepherd. There's a big difference. We've said many times there's a lot of people that acknowledge God with acknowledging that he is their God. You go out and talk to people, you do a man-on-the-street interview, whatever it may be, you have conversations with people, they look at God in certain ways, they may or may not believe in him, but they understand sort of a generic God, but when he's your God, there's a change. And he's saying, there is God, there is Jehovah, but he's my shepherd, he's my God, and he's my shepherd. And David proclaims that Jehovah, in a sense, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, declares himself to be a shepherd, and that he's David's shepherd. That personal understanding of what your shepherd will do in your life. And so last week we looked at Adonai and how it means to be Lord and how to be totally submitted to the Lord. And if Adonai is your Lord by submission to his will, he is your shepherd by submitting to his leading. Because one of the jobs of a shepherd is to lead and guide and certainly to protect. And David's acknowledgement of Jehovah has shepherd, as his shepherd, isn't lost on Christ. John 10:11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And this is an important statement here, and this is one of Jesus' seven I am declarations. We're going to look a little bit at I am in just a few moments, but one of the seven I am declarations, and I am the good shepherd. And he's associating himself, Jesus is associating himself with the Jehovah of the Old Testament. John Piper writes this, the most important text in all the Bible for understanding the name, meaning of the name Yahweh is Exodus 3:13 following. God has just commanded Moses to go to Egypt and to bring his people Israel out of captivity. And Moses says to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, that is Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am able to be remembered throughout all generations. Now Yahweh and I am is really from the same root word, and they kind of derive from the same, they have the same built in the same word. And in a sense, Yahweh and I am are interchangeable. God as much as says that I am, and Yahweh has sent you. So Moses stands before Jehovah, and Jehovah declares he will meet every need you have. I am whatever need you have. I am the answer. I said one of Jesus' I am statements. He declares, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. I mean, talk about a committed shepherd willing to give his life for the sheep, and Jesus, of course, proved it. He gave his life for you and for me. It is in the passage just before Jesus proclaiming that he is the good shepherd that he says that I have come to give you life and life abundantly. And a few verses later, the good shepherd, Jesus, says this, John 10:27 and following. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We can stop right there. What a wonderful statement. My sheep, those that I know, those that know me, I know them, and they follow me. He knows what you need personally. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I mean, how many of you desire to have the hand of God on your life? Come on, we all do. We've prayed that. Lord, I want your hand. I've prayed it for myself, my family, my children, my grandchildren, that your hand, Lord, would be on their life. to guide them, to be with them, to rest on them. Rightfully so. But what's interesting is, in that wonderful expression, God's hand on our life, God desires to hold your hand as well as you go through life. It's even a more personal statement. Through every trial, through every victory, God is with you, holding your hand, leading and guiding. And no one, not even your enemy, can snatch you out of God's hand. What a promise. And what's amazing is Jesus said that no one is able to snatch you out of his hand. And then just a verse or so later, he says, no one able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. I mean, that's double protection, right? Maybe you need to tell that to the devil the next time he's trying to overwhelm you. And the word snatch, to snatch you out of my hand, in the Greek it means to seize, to pull, to take by force. And there may be an enemy that tries to snatch you away from God. There's no force greater than Jehovah. There's no force greater than Jesus, the victor, and there's no force greater than the Holy Spirit. Your God that holds your hand and saying, I'm with you, I've got you. And when you understand Christ is not a controlling grip, a demanding grip, or a domineering grip, it's a shepherd's grip. Loving, providing, protecting, and guiding. Jesus said he was a good shepherd, and Jesus said, my Father gave me these sheep. I'm going to watch over them. And that wasn't lost on the original hearers. As I said, David, the writer of the 23rd Psalm, tended his father's sheep. We said that. And his life at that time was committed to the sheep. And everything the sheep needed, he took as his personal mission to provide it. And so he pens, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is saying, my name, my Jehovah Rohi here, that's my sake. I protect that name. I have that name for a reason, and I'm going to see it through. Every day in the early morning, David as a shepherd would lead the flock from the fold, marching at the head to where they were to be pastured. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. It isn't a forceful, get over there and lay down. It means an enabling. He enables me to lie down in green pastures. The good shepherd causes the happening by his leading. He will cause you and lead you to the green pastures, if you will, in your life by leading you as David led his sheep to the green pasture. He does it out of love and out of provision. He never led them to a rocky, burned out, no good area. It says he took them to where their provision was needed. It's a picture of absolute provision. Everything needed for nourishment and comfort. And Jehovah's saying, that's what I want to do in your life. Take you to where everything you need. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me be by the still waters. This is where you and I can proclaim, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We all have wants and problems, but, you know, when Jehovah is your shepherd, you understand there is no want. This promise of God runs all throughout Scripture. Philippians 4:19, New Testament. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We need to be reminded of this, amen? We need to understand this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It means lack, need, both now and in the future that I won't be needing. We've all lived through difficult times. Chris and I, of course, we struggled with years and years and years ago with a very challenging time. And in that process, we learned a couple of things. One is we learned there's a big difference between our wants and our needs. I kind of wish it said, my God supplies all my wants, but it doesn't. Thankfully, God does supply some of our wants, just out of grace. But our needs, the things that we need, he supplies everything we need. And you learn that, and then you learn sometimes in the trials are you mature the most. When you turn towards God. Look at Psalm 84. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God, for Jehovah, Elohim is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will you hold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. This is your Jehovah Rohi. This is a God that wants to meet your need. And he chooses to portray himself as Jehovah Rohi. Jesus called himself the Good Shepherd. He sees it as his mission to meet your need. And so when you find yourself in need, go to the shepherd. There's not a need that you would have that he cannot supply. If you're lacking wisdom, go to your shepherd. If you're lacking finances, go to your shepherd. If you need his comfort, go to Jehovah. Whatever the need might be, physical, financial, emotional, go to your shepherd, your God. And so he says in Psalm 23, again, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In the Hebrew, in the original language, this is peaceful, quiet, rest, consolation. Book me now. I'm ready to go. It's a beautiful picture. What he wants, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We've all had seasons in our life where we go through a deeply troubled time. Something happens and we're just struggling. Times when we cannot get rest for our soul. Times when we're troubled. Times when we feel defeated. Times when we've lost our hope and ability to cope. God has a restoration for your soul, for your thoughts, and your spirit. He says, I want to restore your soul. The psalm promises that when Jehovah Rohi is your shepherd, you shall not want. Paints a picture of being led to green pastures of provision, still waters of rest, and streams of refreshing. You ever needed a refreshing? Just a restoration of your spirit and your soul and peace and grace. This is your shepherd that wants to provide this. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's leading, God's guiding is always towards righteousness for your benefit and for his name's sake. There's always a purpose in God's name. God sees you as one of his own. You belong to him when you've accepted Christ. You belong to him in all of his glory, and his leading will allow you to glorify him in all that you do in your life. It's interesting that even Jesus, when his time was at hand, he prayed this to the Father. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. That everything in our life should glorify our God. And when you're led by the Spirit of God, when you allow Jehovah to lead you, your life will glorify God. And what's interesting here, this psalm promises God's protection and provision. But it also acknowledges dark and troubled times. 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. There's a contemporary version of Psalms called Psalm Now. I'm going to look at me with it with me at Psalm 4, or verse 4 out of Psalm Now. He is by my side, he's ever present with me. He's close beside me when I tread the dark streets of danger, and even when I flirt with death itself, he will never leave me. When the pain is severe, he is near to comfort. When the burden is heavy, he is there to lean upon. What a beautiful picture of your Jehovah Rohi. When life finds you in a dark valley, when danger seems near, when the enemy is threatening, run to Jehovah Rohi. He's your source. You know, raising sheep in Israel, there are many dry and rocky areas. It's challenging. And there are times when sheep would need to be moved out of a dry, rocky area. It's become problematic, and they need to be moved because of the season to a fertile land. It would often mean, at times, going through dangerous country where thieves or predators might attack the sheep because of the valley and where they're at. One expert wrote that during the seasonal passage from the lowlands, where sheep pasture during the winter months, and in the mountain valleys, the sheep are vulnerable to attacks from wild animals and sudden flash floods. And since the sun does not shine in the valleys very well, the shadows become the shadows of death. He continues, and don't check out on this. It is in these valley moments that a sheep must listen to the shepherd's voice the closest, for their lives depend on it. There are times in your life where you really need to know God's voice. We all love to live on the mountaintop experience. I mean, we want to dwell there. But it's in the valley that we have the greatest opportunity to develop godly character. It's in the valley where we can draw the closest to our God and be most reassured. And God wants you to know that that valley at times in your life is not a place of fear, but of trust. That he wants you to trust him regardless of the season of your life. And the shepherd, he stayed with the sheep at all times, protecting them, watching over them, regardless of the danger that presented itself. You remember that David went after the lion and the bear and attacked his sheep? I mean, that's a picture of Jehovah Rohi. In Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's staff would guide the sheep. The rod protected the sheep. At night, when David brought the sheep back into the fold, he would count them as they passed under the rod. He knew them by name. He wanted to be sure that none were missing. Ever watchful, ever protecting, ever guiding. A good shepherd never lets his attention stray from the sheep. Always watching, always knowing what you're doing. And there's a reason for that. Do you know what sheep do? We all do it. It's kind of summed up in an old hymn, Come Thou, Fount of Every Blessing. Several years back, Jaden Lavack released a contemporary version. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts of God above. That's what sheep do. We wander off. Thank God we have a shepherd who will never let you go over his hand. And will never let somebody else snatch you out of his hand, even while you've wandered off. The shepherd's grip. The enemy can't snatch you out of God's hand, but you can let go of God's hand. And therein lies the problem. I said I like true stories. I like true stories, especially with happy endings. There are many, many stories of people that have rebelled against God and their lives were ruined. Not a happy ending. David had his time of rebellion and sin. At times he paid a heavy price for it. But he was wise enough to turn back to God. David learned to continually confess, Jehovah is my shepherd. And this is why he could confess in verse 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's a wonderful confidence in knowing God as Jehovah Rohi. And it's what comes when you learn to confess, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What if we wrote that out on the mirror in your bathroom? You saw that every morning when you went to bed, and every night when you got up, and every night when you went to bed. That's better, right? The Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah, I shall not want. So when God takes Jehovah, the self-existent, eternal, all-powerful God, and adds a compound name to it, such as Rohi, we learn so much more about God, so much more about what he wants to do in your life. I invite the worship team to come forward. As they're coming forward, where are you today? Where is your hand? Is it firmly in God's grip? Or if you're starting to loosen your grip, let it go a little bit. 1 Peter 2:25. For you are like sheep gone astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. God is always calling you back. Of all the wonderful names of God, and we'll go through many of them, Perhaps Jehovah-Rohi is the most tender expression. Proclaims a deep love for his flock, a fierce devotion to provide and protect and guide. And should jot this down and think about this scripture. Meditate on this, Psalm 9:10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. For those that know God's name will put their trust in you. See the value of knowing the names of God? You learn to trust God. And he's never forsaken those that seek him. Let's stand and worship our God together this morning.